Tate Chronicles now transmitting.
Welcome to the Tate Chronicles on Healthcare Now Radio. And now, here's your host, Jim Tate.
Good day, citizens of the free world, from border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning in to the Tate Chronicles. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare delivery and technology. My guest today is Thomas Elbert, who is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Data at Health Catalyst. Health Catalyst is a leading provider of data and analytics, technology, and services to healthcare organizations. Thomas, welcome to the Tate Chronicles.
Thanks, Jim. Welcome. Pleasure to be here.
I'm really glad that you're here because in terms of healthcare data, it seems like the dam has broken. There is more and more data coming in from more and more sources, a lot of new sources, and we need to take a look at the data and see how it can be managed in a way that leads to better clinical outcomes and business decisions. But first, let me ask you, who are the customers of Health Catalyst and what are some of the services you provide?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. So as you mentioned, Health Catalyst is at our core a data and analytics platform business. We have applications and services that are built off of that data application, off of that data analytics platform. And primarily the areas we service are traditionally in the provider space, so health systems, clinically integrated networks, and ACOs. And we're moving more and more into the payer and HIE space as we've got a lot of shared capabilities between the traditional provider market and what those new markets are demanding.
There's I don't even know how to describe it, Thomas, but the amount of data that is now becoming available has got to be managed. You know, a generation ago, any healthcare data existed really only in paper charts, perhaps. Maybe insurance companies had a little bit of data, but it was basically paper-based also. But now we've got all these new sources that are beyond what's being captured in an electronic health record or traditional EHR, coming from different places. What are those new sources of data that you're seeing out there?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, the number of sources just continues to proliferate. I remember when I first started, I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but when I first started in healthcare, I worked for Cerner, and I remember when data and analytics used to be done right out of that operational data store. And you used to, CCL, or you used to write, used to do the work right there in Epic or Cerner. And it was a big deal at that point when we started to bring in, other inpatient systems and other ambulatory systems. And you were talking about, going from one EMR source to, 20 to 50 sources, whatever your health system had. Now you start talking about where care has expanded out, and with COVID and what the pandemic's brought us, you're now looking at care being provided even outside of the walls of even the outpatient centers at the health system, and moving into how do we provide home care and what are the technologies going to look like that are going to be taken to provide that? And how do we monitor the things that are going on outside the home? So all of a sudden you've got IoT, you've got wearables and all this other device data, and care is becoming more and more personalized as we move forward. And that's taken, and put a strain on data systems that health systems have that were already stretching to keep up with just their own data. And now you start bringing this in outside. And every organization really has to take a step back and look at how are we going to manage all this data? How are we going to use it to impact care? And how are we going to empower our providers with the information that they need in order to properly care for our patients?
Well, you mentioned these new sources of data. For the first time in history, I guess, we've got patient-reported data, where patients through their portal maybe report weight or their diabetic, their hemoglobin A1C, or they may be uploading information from various wearables they have. But also there's data that's coming in from home health visits. And it's really hard to tell what the end is in terms of new sources of data. you know, there's video data that's being used somewhat, almost like a hospital in the home kind of approach. So all these new sources, that there really has not been a roadmap as to how to make that part of a concise, reliable, robust patient record. How do we move forward?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, you start thinking about, that's where this concept, I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, of a data mesh comes in. But the idea that you're going to have a centralized, monolithic data warehouse that's going to, and a team that's going to manage all these disparate types of data, and that they're going to have the expertise to do that in one organization, it's just an outdated model of looking at things. Instead, what you need to do is you need to actually federate the governance out to that, to the folks that are actually experts in that data. You have to have a system and an approach that's actually going to allow you to get the right expertise to handle that data, and then make sure that the information that you need to share and actually start governing that data as a product, and understanding what downstream consumers are going to need out of that data, that you have an approach to manage that as an organization to make that data accessible and usable to all those other downstream use cases that might want to leverage it. So you mentioned an A1C. You know, what is, as an organization, what you've got to do is look at it in terms of, okay, I've got these new data sources. What's my patient engagement strategy going to be? What's the expertise that I need to have? It? How am I going to bring that group together, manage that patient engagement data? And then how am I going to make that data accessible to the rest of the organization so that it can do two things? One, inform the decisions that the health system's making in those other areas, but then two, also allow me to incorporate the data that the health system has into that patient engagement strategy so that I can make tweaks or pivots to the care pathways that my patients are on as they're interacting with the system, you know, remotely from their own house or home health agency.
You know, one, I guess, anecdotal aspect of this, Thomas, is remote patient monitoring. So it really is impossible for one provider to monitor 50 patients who are at home with different chronic problems. And so there's got to be, whether we call it augmented intelligence or artificial intelligence or machine learning or clinical decision support rules or something that triggers alerts. So at one level, that data has got to be handled by something other than by rules. And then maybe an action decision is made by an individual on behalf of a provider. So that's kind of a new thing altogether. We're seeing more and more of that in terms of remote patient monitoring and augmented, I guess, decision-making, early decision-making.
Yeah, and that's a great point. So, you know, there's this concept that's been out there for a while around the data fabric, and augmented intelligence to stitch that together has been a core tenet of that. So as you start getting all these disparate data sources in and this proliferation of data, the need to have a strategy for how you're going to bring that data together, integrate it, and normalize it, apply semantic meaning and manage the metadata around that, all has to be governed with an overall you know, kind of data platform and analytics strategy. And key to that is having a terminology or a normalization process and a set of tools that are going to help facilitate that. And as you mentioned, augmented intelligence is the core of that. You're not going to be able to manually go in and curate, you know, the thousands of data sources that you might be able to, right, to interact with, making sure that they're all the same. So what is going to be your strategy as an organization around how you're going to take, you know, thousands of different wearable devices and bring that data together and apply a standard meaning to it that then is recognizable in the context of the care pathway? It's a difficult problem to solve, and it's definitely something that you have to look at from a technical perspective, but you also have to look at it from a people and process perspective and say, how are we going to manage this, and how are we going to make that data accessible to other aspects of the organization in a way that's meaningful?
Exactly. You know, every now and then nature throws a wild card at us, and we're almost 2 years into the COVID-19 global pandemic emergency. And so almost overnight, really in just a few days in March 2020, almost all routine healthcare visits stopped, and providers had to morph very quickly to telehealth platforms. And so I imagine for a period there, a lot of that documentation that would have occurred with patients coming in and the data going into an EHR was just lost because they were essentially doing, you know, Zoom calls and maybe making a few notes, but probably a lot of data was not coming in. So that was something that happened totally out of the blue. How did you see other ways how COVID-19 really affected these new types of data and caused hiccups? Was it much of a problem?
Yeah, no, it was a huge problem for organizations. I mean, you consider the fact that what really started happening is the access to this data that was all centralized in the EMR, as you mentioned, all of a sudden was getting captured in Zoom calls or more in notes, and people started leveraging a lot of that, the new systems. So all of a sudden it wasn't even as simple as, well, now I've got my EMR and I've got the patient presenting right in front of me. Now I have to actually bring in these new systems. And in a lot of cases, I've got the patients doing documentation of findings and observations and results and systems that I've never had to interoperate with before that aren't my EMR. Now, how do I get access to that data? And what ended up happening from the physician's perspective is when it's not in that system, what they start to do is they start to document in the notes again. And all of a sudden, all of those, you know, those discrete data points you start to work with are now embedded in these notes again. And organizations really struggle to think about how am I going to incorporate all these new sources of data. The other thing I would say that was a big thing that we found with our clients is also not just from a clinical sense, but also as you think about the way that their care model had to change. It took a lot of the tenets that you were seeing with value-based care, and it rapidly accelerated those at a pace that providers weren't ready for. And all of a sudden you had to start looking at what are the financial implications of me making this change? How quickly can I do this? How quickly can I start to bring patients back in? And they had to now start integrating more of those financial aspects of the decision making and say, well, now it's not just my clinical, it's looking at my access data and who's able to go where and what is the impact of me having to shut down entire clinics? Where is that volume getting shifted? And what's the downstream financial impacts associated with that? And so they needed to have safe ways to ramp down and ramp up applications or different services that they were providing based off of a rapidly changing environment. So all of a sudden, it's not just remote patient monitoring, it's not just telehealth, it's balancing what was going on clinically in terms of access with what are they going to have financially. So just the need to bring all these different sources together in a meaningful way to drive decision support, both operationally and clinically, really stretched the data management and analytics capabilities of health systems across the U.S.
Yeah, and you know, if there is any silver lining to the cloud of COVID-19, we were able to see if it was possible for the healthcare system in the U.S. on a very wide scale adopt new technology, and it happened in a matter of weeks. Everybody figured out how to do it, and surmount the challenges. And that was something to witness. Really was.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think it's actually a testament to a lot of the infrastructure that health systems, you know, MU was if it accomplished anything, it was really making a significant investment in terms of the capabilities that health systems had to do manage technology. And I think, you know, probably that's one of the things that we saw pay off in all of this is organizations have been thinking about how health systems health organizations have been thinking about how do we manage technology as a strategic asset and change. I think this really galvanized a lot of the investments that they made and created that sense of urgency to really start capitalizing on a lot of those investments. And I was impressed with how rapidly the change was actually able to occur.
Okay, let's kind of shift over a little bit, Thomas, to our other kind of subtopic here. We had all these silos, I guess, practice by practice silos of data. And then, maybe 10 years ago, people started talking about these RIOs, regional health information organizations, which were kind of like big lakes. Everybody would dump data in, but Not too much. I think there wasn't a lot of adoption there. And then we've kind of moved to this, the HIEs, the health information exchanges. And so all this data, maybe we got all this precise data coming in, but it's being dumped somewhere. How can it be appropriately managed to make a difference in clinical outcomes? And is there going to have to be a cultural shift by a lot of providers to access that data that's in those big lakes out there? You mentioned that mesh, data mesh. What's that all about?
Yeah, so no, that's a great question. So, you know, I would say what we've seen is the move towards how do we bring in all these different data. You mentioned data lake. What data mesh really is that next iteration of going through and thinking about it's a framework really for how do we manage data. I mentioned before, it's people, processes, and technology. So it's not just the technology approach. It's the people and processes and how to manage that. And how do we take all of these different data sources that we have and structure them in such a way that makes it managed? And there's really four, you know, kind of four key principles of that wrap around that. The first is, you know, you talked about the lake, but pushing the ownership of data back out to the individual domains that create it. So not having this monolithic architecture that requires that all data be loaded into it in terms of managing it, but instead pushing the management of that back out to the domains. One critical point that I want to make in that is we're not talking about operational data stores and how we manage this. We're still talking about the analytics components of it, but you've got to get the domain expertise and the domain ownership to take accountable of data or take accountability of the data that they're both creating and making accessible to downstream applications. So it starts with that domain-driven ownership. Once you've got that, then what you can do is you can start thinking about data as a product. And with data as a product, what you can do with that then is start thinking about the folks that are managing that data have to think about it not just in terms of how am I using it as a producer of that data and also a consumer, but how are other downstream consumers going to need that? And that allows you to start kind of making that similar shift to what microservices did for application architecture, apply those same principles to data. So how am I going to democratize and make that data accessible and define the endpoints by which people are going to interact with that data downstream and start thinking about what are the consumer's needs and how am I as a product owner or a domain owner going to make that data appropriate and fit for use or quality. Then when you start thinking about the infrastructure needed for those consumers to get it, then you get that third tenet, which is self-service infrastructure as a platform. So how am I going to enable self-service through the platform, the data and analytics platform that I have, to make those data products accessible to the downstream people that use it and you know, have it be governed in such a way that it's discoverable and they can access that data. And then the fourth tenet of it is really, okay, now I've got all of these individual components. So I've got domains, I've got the data product, I've got the self-service infrastructure to do it. How do I get all of these distributed domains governed in such a way that they don't all just start breaking down into data silos? So what's my approach to then govern all of that to make sure, you know, this was really where the FAIR principles of making it findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable have to be applied. But how am I going to govern it to make sure that everyone that's using it can find the data, access the data, share the data, and then reuse new concepts as they're created? And create that framework around your platform that I can stand up the domains that I know I need today, but as well provide a framework and a center of excellence to apply new domains and grow that data as the needs change. And as we start, you know, you mentioned, we've been talking a lot about the IoT patient wearable patient engagement type data. How am I going to bring that domain up? Who's going to be the expert in that? How are they going to plug into existing domains I have? You need, you know, people hear federated, it's federated governance. So you've got to distribute it out, but you also have a way to govern it so that you don't fall into, I'd say, a lot of the pitfalls we had with data lakes where you throw the data in and then nobody knows how to find anything in it.
Right, exactly. Well, let's talk about kind of the two extremes of this data out there. There is data that is very, very specific that if I was a provider, I might want to access for a patient. And it's information really just about that patient It will probably also include some new types of data sets, like for precision medicine, there's going to have to be some genomic data out there. I'm not sure where we are with that at all. And then at the other extreme, I don't want information about one patient. I want information about all patients or big group patients so I can deal with population health issues. So will this data mesh system be able to be incredibly selective as well as broad? Is there any problems there at all?
Yeah, no, that's another great question. So that's really the advantage of having that domain-specific governance that you need to have. So, you know, you would look at it as a domain from population health, a domain of genomic data. You want domain, an even better example of that, that more people are probably dealing with today is your oncology data, your cardiovascular data. Mm-hmm. Getting that data in the hands of experts and making it so that they can produce the data sets that are needed. So you would want, you know, as a population, let's stick with population health as the example. I'm going to want to know who are my patients. And this, one of the things that I would say your core data or population health data group needs to be able to manage is who are my members?
Yes.
What are the chronic conditions that those members have? What are the things that are interesting? What they're not going to necessarily specialize in is the management of the specific, if I've got cancer patients, what are the specific oncology data needs that they have? And how am I going to manage the oncology data? There's a special group, that domain of oncology, that's going to need to manage that and make that data usable for the purposes of population health. So what you're really going to think about in this data mesh concept is get the data in the hands of the experts of that data, but then think about who the downstream consumers are of it. So as my oncology group, I'm going to think about, okay, one of the groups that needs to have access to my data product, my oncology data product, is my population health group. And here's the specific needs that they're going to have. So how am I going to bring that data in? How am I going to normalize it? How am I going to make it accessible to them? And then get that data to them so that they can facilitate the needs of their downstream oncology patients from a population health perspective in terms of outreach and things of that nature. So what you're really doing with data mesh is taking all of these specific domains and the levels of expertise, you're putting a framework around it that allows the experts to manage that data, but then also stitch that data together so that you don't have these silos that we've historically had, to start to break those down and define the endpoints so that other groups can use those things to drive care.
Sure.
So that's really the goal around it. So you start thinking about genomics. You would hate, if you were to take this into a traditional data warehousing sense, the idea that you're going to have a central data team that's going to manage and own all of that, that's going to know genomics data, oncology data, cardiovascular data,
right, financial
data, that you're going to have all of that expertise centralized in one area. I think that's where you've seen a lot of historical data warehousing efforts break down. When you think about what data mesh came out of, it took a look at what organizations were doing that were successful in those data warehousing efforts. And what they found was those organizations that were successful were able to get the ownership of that data back out into the domains that were generating it, so that they took ownership of the data, were able to fix data issues at the source and make enable that data to be curated and cleaned up at the source, so that the downstream use cases, it was being fixed by the people that were actually generating the data, as opposed to it trying to be, you know, that garbage in, garbage out, some central data product team that was trying to clean all of that up and interpret a whole bunch of it without input from the individual leaders. So that's really where that starts when you start talking about genomic data and bringing those things in, is get the experts in that data to own it, to curate it, make that accessible in a product mentality, and think about what the downstream consumers of that data are going to need and make that accessible through that framework, and then govern them in a way that they know it's there and it's accessible.
Yes. And with some built-in flexibility, because I'm sure there are going to be downstream use cases for that data that we don't even know about yet. Nobody's even thought about yet.
100%. And that's where I'd say this isn't a strong deviation. It's really more taking concepts that have already existed in the, you know, we saw data lakes and data warehouses come together in the new, you know, this lake house kind of approach now that, that technology's taken. And that's really started to enable this data mesh concept. But it's really taking a lot of the technology things around data ops and lake houses and governance, but it's a framework around which you can leverage all those tools and lessons learned from folks that have been successful in leveraging those terms and a framework for how you can, as an organization, put the right people, processes, and technologies in place to capitalize on the investments you've made in data and analytics infrastructure.
We're almost totally out of time, but before I let you go, Thomas, let me ask you this. For 2022, what recommendations do you have for healthcare organizations related to what we've been discussing?
Yeah, great question. I think the number one thing folks need to look at is think about this concept of a data mesh and how that's going to fit into their organization. What are the people, processes, and technologies that you as an organization need to have in order to capitalize on the investment, empower your domain users to think about data as a product and make that data accessible throughout the organization to really drive outcomes improvement, both financially, operationally, and clinically.
And let me add that for folks to find out more about Health Catalyst and their service offerings, you can locate them online, of course, at healthcatalyst.com. That's healthcatalyst.com. To our audience, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest today, Thomas Elbert. Thomas, thanks for coming aboard today.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Jim. Really appreciate it.
You can find more information on this show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you fair winds and safe harbors.
Tate Chronicles transmission ending now.